Montana Show live from Navy Pier. We're broadcasting from the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, presented by Mariano's. It's going on now through March 26th, and we're talking everything flowers. And it's March, which means it's time to get those gardens ready. And the man with the gardening plan is sitting next to me. He's the regular to our show, Tony Fulmer. What's going on, pal?
Well, it's time for spring cleanup.
Yes, sir. Are you in your glory walking around the show right now?
I am. It's really nice to see color. You know, we had that whole thing a few weeks ago where everything was warming up and it looked like spring was coming, and then we have the snow. So it's great to see all this beautiful color around here.
Didn't I talk to you around that time? Wasn't it like it was starting to get warmer and I was asking you a bunch of questions and boom, it started to snow, I think, the next week? I got out there. You'd be proud of me, Tony. I got out there, started digging up and like cleaning up, and then all of a sudden I gave up because it got cold.
Well, so then we probably should talk about what you're going to be doing right now.
Yeah, tell me, educate us and the listeners and all the folks here live at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show who happen to be buzzing around right now. Tony, what should we be doing for March and the next couple months?
The most important thing to do right now is, with that warmth that we had early, a lot of plants got teased into starting out. They're really advanced. So you really need to get out. If you didn't do your fall cleanup in the perennial garden last year, you need to get out there right now and start trimming those perennials off. Because if you don't and that new growth starts coming up among the old growth, then you have to literally get in and trim individual branches. And as much as I love to garden, that's really tedious.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, you can't go in and just cut all the way back to the ground. You have to go in and cut and make sure that you're not damaging those new shoots as they grow.
Yeah, see, I'm bad. I just cut.
That's why I like to do it in the fall.
Yeah.
You do it in the fall, and then no matter what happens over the winter, you're good. Whenever it gets warm, and you're finished.
So do you think that this weather is going to level out a little bit? Are we going to see the – because I'm starting to see a little bit of budding happening. I'm starting to see some plants poke through.
Oh, yeah.
In places that I never imagined, like in the middle of my lawn, my front lawn, I'm seeing like – it looks like tulips wanting to pop up. Is that possible?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Especially if it's out in an open area where the sun has warmed it up. What we are seeing a lot of is on south or west side of buildings where they get that reflected heat. That soil warms first, and so I've seen tulips that are 4 inches tall already.
Wow.
And the thing people should understand is that's not a problem for the bulbs. They have their own built-in insulation, so the leaves are not a problem. If they were much farther advanced and we had a mid-April snowstorm, flower tissue can be damaged by frost or freezing. The leaves are perfectly fine, so people don't have to worry about running out and covering those up should it get really cold at night.
Good stuff. How about those lawns? I'm having difficulty. I look across at my neighbor who's like the green thumb guy, and his lawn looks like it's...
It makes you look bad.
It does, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I fertilize. I do the right things. How is this weather impacting our lawns right now?
Well, we finally had a December again where it was really cold. And so the lawns did go into dormancy. So the function, it's a function of how much fertilizer, how late you fertilized last year, how much greening up you're getting. So don't worry, you'll catch up. But people should start thinking about the first fertilizer should be down about the time that the lawns are 50 to 75% green. The one thing that I would say this year to be careful about is that you don't want to go out and do a lot of people like to go out and rake and rake and rake and rake to get the leaves up, and that's fine to get the leaves up, but at least if you have a shaded area, don't go into those shaded areas and start raking. The shade grasses have a much more shallow root system, and with that ground frozen underneath there, what you would do is break it off, and so you can actually rake up the shaded areas of your lawn. So don't do any raking in there. If you want to get out and rake in your lawn, go out in the sunny areas and do that. And then typically by about the first or second week of April, that would be a great time to go ahead and put your first application of a lawn fertilizer down. We like to think in terms of holidays. So if you think of tax day as a holiday.
I don't. I don't like tax day.
I believe me, I understand. So first application should be down April 15th, then Memorial Day, then Labor Day, and then Halloween.
So even if it warms up a little bit before, hold off.
Well, unless your lawn is 50, 75% green, then you can go ahead and fertilize.
Mine's about it's a puke-ish green right now. It's a little yellow.
Puke green, okay.
Yeah.
How many times did you fertilize last year, Frank? You're a busy guy.
I'm a busy guy, but I got a decent landscaper. I would say twice. maybe more. Like, he does it when I'm not home, so I'm just counting the times that I actually physically see him do it.
How many times did you write a check?
Good question. Too many times? Is that a good answer? Too many times?
If you wrote a check and you only fertilized twice, I think you need to pick it up. That may be why your yard looks pukish green.
So we just need to increase the amount of fertilization.
Yeah, you probably, if you have a lawn that gets a lot of sun, you want to fertilize at least 4 times a year.
And watering right at this stage of the game? Is it too soon?
No.
Too soon, right?
There's plenty of adequate soil moisture right now. That's the non-issue right now.
Got it. What else should we be planning for in March and April?
With that early weather, if you have deer or rabbits, you need to be watching the tulips. Deer and rabbits love tulips. They won't touch daffodils.
I got tons of rabbits. I haven't really seen any deer in my backyard in LaGrange.
Do you have tulips?
I will.
Okay. If you have a lot of rabbits, as soon as the tulips are an inch or two tall, you need to get out there with your favorite repellent. And you need to spray them, and you probably
the BB gun is that a qualified repellent? No, I don't. I don't shoot. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Tony's face just went white when I said that.
I just have a vision of someone going out to the garage for that product. And
I don't kill animals. Are you kidding me? Occasional squirrel here and there. No, I'm kidding.
So you really, if you have rabbit issues or deer issues with the bulbs up like this, you need to get out there as soon as you possibly can and get a repellent down there. Because
do you recommend any specific repellent for
rabbits? I have to say I like Repelzol is a good one. And then there's one called Plant Skeed, which also does a great job. The deer really hate that one.
Good stuff, Tony. Folks, you can always text us 312-981-7200 for your questions. Fortunately, Tony's busy guy. We got to get going here. He's going to be walking around. And Tony, if you're hanging out, we got some great gravy lady food here. Good friend Dee Dee Sirocco is dropping by. She'll be coming up next to talk about her amazing Italian food and St. Joseph's Day, the day of feast for lots of Italians and Polish out there celebrating. Happy St. Joseph's Day. Tony Fulmer from Chalet Landscape Nursery and Garden, thank you so much. We usually have a lot more time than this, but, you know, we're giving a mixed bag here. We're trying to just mix it up a little bit.
Well, and people should come out because it really is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely beautiful. Great shot of color.
Without the doubt. I can't wait to walk around after this.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. Before we get started, the Chicago Tribune wants you to know that your favorites are in Chicago Dining. Vote now through March 22nd at chicagotribune.com/diningawards and release your inner food critic. We're back here at Navy Pier, and we're talking to the gravy lady now. Switching gears, it is St. Joseph's Day. For those who celebrate, happy St. Joseph's Day. And it's a day of feasting for lots of Italians and Polish across the and Catholics across the world. And Dee Dee is a pro at feeding and feasting. Dee Dee, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So,
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've known Dee Dee for a long, long time now, and she is an amazing cook and a hell of a hustler who started a fantastic business that does catering and food services called the Gravy Lady. Dee Dee, how did you come up with the Gravy Lady?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Do you make a good gravy? Because in my family, we call it sauce.
Well, we call it gravy, and you're wrong.
So why am I wrong, and what's the difference between a sauce and a gravy?
A gravy basically is a red sauce with meat in it.
Right.
Sunday gravy. So
yeah.
I would say tomato basil is a sauce.
No, to me, that's a bolognese sauce is what
yes.
we call that.
Yes.
And I'm Sicilian, so.
And the turkey bolognese that I just dropped at your house.
You did? Oh, you're the best. I appreciate that. So you have a phenomenal business, and you're a mom of three who's hustling, making it happen. And the Gravy Lady now services all sorts of functions, corporations, private parties. But you're just like this amazing Italian mom who has these fantastic recipes. Now, are these family recipes that you have kind of carved into your own, or are these your self-started recipes?
Some are family recipes. Definitely my Sunday gravy and meatball is my mom's recipe. I tweaked it a little bit. But basically, I read and read and tweak and keep trying recipes until I get them the way I want them. And that's kind of how it all came about. My husband helps me a lot, too. He's a great cook.
He's a great guy, too.
He's a great critic.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you got to have a great palate for it. And I would imagine being a friend of yours and a neighbor is a good thing because you cook a lot of the stuff at a kitchen facility, a licensed kitchen facility.
Yes, United
but you do
Kitchen.
You do your science at home, right?
I do all of my my tweaking and all that at home, and then full production is done at United Kitchen in LaGrange.
Yeah, and it's a great place if you haven't heard of it. Your recipes, though, you know, and I grew up in a full-blown Italian family. My mom cooked. My grandmothers make their own homemade pasta. But your stuff, just it tastes like old school, real deal, fresh made. Like you just brought today. You brought sausage bread.
Yes, I make everything fresh. Nothing is done ahead of time. Like yesterday, I had two parties. I literally shopped yesterday morning.
So you shop in the morning, the mornings of the parties, you're in the kitchen all night and all day prepping for the event.
And I believe there's a big difference. I believe when cutting vegetables right before and doing all your sausage right before, making everything the day of is such a big difference than prepping it a few days ahead of time. And it's a lot more work for me, definitely, but to me it shows. And that's where I take my pride.
It shows in the taste and the flavor and the results. I mean, people rave about your sausage bread in particular. You have a couple signature items, but your sausage bread is the talk of the Southwest suburbs.
Yes.
And I'm sure beyond. What goes into the magic sausage bread? And explain for those who don't know what a sausage bread is.
So sausage bread is a fried up Italian sausage with fried in olive oil, garlic, onion, parsley. I fry up the sausage, and then I roll out dough and wrap the sausage in it and bake it.
Any kind of special dough?
Just my regular pizza dough.
Yeah, which you can't reveal because you'd have to kill me then.
No, I can reveal it.
Do you make your own pizza dough as well?
Yes. Yes,
see,
I
love that about you. Like, I would shortcut it. I'd go to my favorite pizza place and get the dough.
Yeah.
But not you.
Nope. I do it all by hand, too. That's why my hands look the way they look. Yeah.
All very healthy as well, right?
Yes, I try. I've been doing some recipes also for Weight Watchers. I do some cooking demos for Weight Watchers, so they've been letting me experience with different healthy versions. So that's how I came up with the turkey bolognese. It's all white meat and no cream, just fresh vegetables, tomatoes, and ground turkey. It's actually delicious.
I love it. It's one of my favorite dishes. And you make different types of spreads, too. And we have some here. Matter of fact, Dee Dee brought an amazing spread. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're
and
welcome.
The folks are coming up, tasting it. All the fans here at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show are getting an opportunity to. Folks, as a matter of fact, help yourself. Sample a little of the Gravy Lady's goods. It's good stuff. What are some of the dips we're looking at?
So I started doing some homemade cheeses, homemade pestos. I have homemade ricotta cheese, homemade goat cheese. Regular basil pesto. I have a lemon arugula pesto, which is excellent on fish. I have a roasted red pepper, regular basil, a few. I'm going to try an artichoke pesto this week. So doing things like that, and I'll do some spicy pecans, some homemade meats, some different cheeses, some olives, marinated olives. I'll put those all on a board with the sausage bread.
Yeah.
That's kind of what people order from me a ton is these antipasto boards.
So you do the whole cake. What you brought today is your signature board.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's delicious. And I try to eat plant-based as much as possible. When you come around, Dee Dee, you break my diet all the time.
I won't tell Sherry.
Yeah, don't. She's probably listening right now, so you just did. So how about your supersod? Do you make supersod as well?
Yes. I have to confess, I have a recipe, but it's so much work. And because the winters have been so warm, it's hard to actually regulate the temperature. So I have a friend who I give him my recipe, and he makes it for me.
The supersod, I mean, for those who don't know, is like what would you call it, a dry-aged meat?
Yeah,
dry-cured.
Yeah.
How long does the process take?
6 weeks. So it processes for 6 weeks. You have to put it in a press and press it, and after 6 weeks, it's pretty much done.
Do you hang them all over your house when you get them?
Well, years ago, before the winters were so warm, which they've been so warm this year, you can put them in your basement. But, you know, we found that we were throwing so much away because it wasn't cold enough. So we just put it in a cooler now.
Yeah, and it's a great gift. I mean, I love when you come over or folks come over and they're like, oh, here's a stick of supersod. It's like better than like gold sometimes.
Oh, it is. Oh, ask Jimmy. How many? He eats 3 or 4 sticks a day.
Yeah, and you have 3 beautiful kids.
Oh, thank you.
Jimmy, Tony, who is very close to us, and Sid, who all share that Dee Dee quality, you know? And for those who don't know, Dee Dee's super person, just like take the shirt off her back for you.
And absolutely, it shows in your business and your food.
Frank.
The way you go above and beyond for your clients is really what you're known for. So if people want to know more about, you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.gravylady.com.
And then you have a phone number if people want to take a chance to give you a call and taste one of your awesome sausage bread platters.
Sure. It's 708-715-9544.
All right. If you're milling around the Chicago and Flower and Garden Show, stop on by to the Tulip Garden here over by the Euro Brick Inc. display. There's still a couple samples left if you want to taste a little bit of what's left on the platter. Not much, though, Dee Dee. I don't think people liked it. It's an empty plate. Dee Dee, thank you so much.
Oh, you
want to give a special shout-out before you go?
Yes, I do. A very, very special shout-out to my favorite godson, T.T. He's my biggest fan.
Oh, that's so sweet. Hi, T.T. All right, Dee Dee, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing the food down. You're the best. We love you.
Thank you. We love you
Saint
just
Joseph's
as much.
Day.
Happy St. Joseph's Day. Thank you, Frank.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're broadcasting live from the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, presented by Mariano's at Navy Pier. Chicago is blooming here through March 26th. It's a phenomenal show. If you haven't yet, come check it out. It'll be open till the 26th. Come on down now, though. It's a beautiful Sunday. All sorts of gardening tips. We've been doing it all show long. I'm learning a lot here. And speaking of learning, our next guests are from the British International School of Chicago in Lincoln Park, who do all sorts of activities in the Kids Activity Garden here for the show. That's why I said earlier, it's a good idea to bring the family to this event here at Navy Pier. Right now, being joined with Admissions and Marketing Director Aaron Woodhams from the school, as well as Ashna, a 7-year-old student, and Anu, her mom. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. So first, I want to learn a little bit about the British International School. I seen a pop up over, it's right off like Milwaukee, and am I get my roads mixed up here?
We're off Halsted and Eastman.
Halsted, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I was there. I lived downtown while they were in the construction. I saw a pop up, but then I moved, so I didn't learn much about it. Tell me about the school.
Yeah, sure. So we're a private international school located in the Lincoln Park area. We're ages 2 to 11 years old at our Lincoln Park campus. We're part of the Nord Anglia Education Group, which has 43 schools around the world.
Fantastic. And you guys are here representing at the show and the Kids Activity Garden. And Ashna, tell me why you're here. You're a big star of the show.
I'm here to tell you about why gardening's important and what I love about it.
So tell me, what do you love about gardening?
Is that it's really fun. And you're learning too.
Is it really just about getting your hands dirty, though? Like, you like getting all muddy and dirty and playing with dirt, don't you? I mean, what kid doesn't? She's like, no, I really like the flowers. Let me tell you about them. What's your favorite flower?
Marigolds.
Marigolds. See, I feel so uneducated in the floral department, so I couldn't picture that right now. I could tell you what a tulip looks like, because we're in the tulip garden. Are you a fan of tulips, too?
Yeah.
So if my daughter wants to come down, she's 3, and you're over there at the kids' station, what kind of activities would you be showing her?
How to make bird feeders out of milk cartons and water bottles.
And how do you do that?
So, in school, at our canteen, instead of throwing all the water bottle caps and milk cartons away, we save them in boxes and create them as bird feeders.
And I'm holding one of them right now, and they're really cool looking. So tell me, you cut a hole in the side of them, a square in the side, right?
Yes, we did.
And then you take either a branch or a dowel rod. Is that a branch?
It's a branch.
And you guys are even recycling with the branches, which is really cool, which is like kind of where the bird would hang out?
Yeah.
And
do
you guys hang these at the school?
We can outside in the rooftop playground.
Yeah. Have you brought one home to test it?
No, I haven't even made one yet.
Oh, are we going to make them this weekend? I think you should. I think we should. Because I'm holding one there. This looks pretty cool. And then you have one that made out of old water bottles. which is the same concept where you just cut a little square out of the side. You put the bird feet in, and then you put a little stick coming through so the birdie could sit on the ledge, right?
Yeah.
And then what do you have in your hand? You got a little plant, a homemade plant?
So, instead of buying a whole pot, we used old newspaper, biodegradable newspaper, and we rolled it up and made it into a little plant thing and put the soil and the Brussels sprout plant in so that we can just put the plant into the ground.
So do you put it in with the newspaper itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happens to that newspaper? Do the worms get to read the daily news?
No.
No?
It breaks down.
Ah, that's the answer I was looking for. You're a smart girl. That's actually a neat way to do it. And so are you a fan of Brussels sprouts? Is that why you picked Brussels sprout plant?
Well, I've tasted them before. I'm not a fan of them, but my mom is.
Me too, Mom. I like them with a little pancetta, a little bit of sliced almonds in there. And you can even do it with a little balsamic vinegar. It's really good. I'll change your mind. Come over to my house. We'll cook. It'll be a good time. You'll be a fan of Brussels sprouts by the time you're done. So do you guys do all sorts of vegetables as well? I mean, is this a part of an extension of what you guys do at the school?
It is. We've been focusing on the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and partnering with UNICEF.
I'm going to challenge you. What are all 17?
Ooh, I don't think I could do
can
that.
Can you name three?
I can. Climate control, healthy eating, and ending hunger. And right now we're focused on being healthy and ending hunger at the school. And one of those things is certainly growing our own vegetables.
I'm liking what I'm hearing about this school. Is that what makes the British school so different? Like, it seems like a different type of schooling system. You don't hear many traditional school systems, or Common Core for that matter, focusing on solving hunger issues.
We'd like to give the children exposure to real-world problems and understanding more global perspectives and things that are happening outside of, just Lincoln Park.
I dig it. It's not just about 1+1.
Exactly.
I mean, that's basic. It's about learning about life.
Yep.
And what happens and what's unfolding around. So, Mom, Anu, why did you choose this school? I'm just curious.
So when we spoke to Erin about a year ago, it was really intriguing because she mentioned that we're building citizens of tomorrow, but we don't know what tomorrow looks like. So we have to instill the best values and still set critical reasoning, for example, to ensure that not only would they be good citizens in amongst themselves, but also for the world. So looking to the future with that unknown, the focus is how do we build conscious and conscientious students that will make great decisions for themselves as well as their broader global community.
I mean, you would think this is such common sense, the way that this should be the protocol to teach humans, period. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just part and parcel of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, giving the kids hands-on experiences, global perspective, real skills that they can take into the future.
Yeah, and do you have to be academically excelled to be in the school, or is it purely just a choice or a parental choice at that point?
Well, most of our students start with us at a very young age. We start at 2 years old, so no one has a crystal ball into, you know, what their skills are going to be, their passions are going to be. So we certainly look at breadth of exposure and also reaching every student's potential. You know, yeah. They're not a cookie-cutter group of kids. They're going to excel in different areas. We'll support them through that.
Yeah, which I think is something that's lost in traditional schooling. You know, like I remember going to school and I was interested in science and I think art. And then the rest of the stuff was kind of like shoved in my face, and I really wasn't great at it. I was good at communications, lo and behold, you know. But all the things that I, you know, was kind of like forced to learn, I feel like schools like yours, Montessori, similar approaches where they, you know, really focus in on the individual child, what their needs are, develop those, and obviously teaching the basics of what you need to function in the society. But I love the idea of the alternative way of thinking, especially from a young age, and younger than this. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, certainly what's great about the school is they focus on the individual strengths of each child, and you'll see within each class there's a diverse group, both in the way that kids approach a problem, but also their creative solutions.
Yeah.
So it's really great to see that in the classroom they get that diversity in thought and reasoning, but they also have to really use their critical reasoning skills to think about and prove their point. right, Ashna? And
so you ever negotiate your foods well? If Mom, I want this cookie, and here's why.
Do you negotiate?
Do you negotiate well with Mom when you want something? You want that toy, and you're like, Mom, here's the critical reason why I need this Moana doll. Right?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Moana?
I haven't even watched it
You're
yet.
You're kidding? I've watched it 22 times. You have to go see it. Mom, you would love it too. It's a fantastic movie. My daughter's a huge fan of it. I have no choice. I've watched that in Frozen about 3,000 times.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that it's great that the kids have an opportunity to individually better themselves. I know in our family we've always said that if our child is the best of herself, you really don't need to worry about anything else. And to be able to bring out the strong skills and confidence so that she's her best self is the most important thing, I think, for parents and families.
Fantastic. I love it. Come see them here at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. They're going to be at the Kids Activity Center. You going to be here all week? Are you going to ditch school and come hang out here? Is that what's happening?
Do you want to say anything?
You want to give a shout out to any of your schoolmates before we go?
Yeah, sure.
Say hi, everybody, back at the school. There you go. That's Ashna, who's 7 years old, and her mom, Anu, and Aaron Woodhams from the British International School of Chicago in Lincoln Park. I love what you guys stand for. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're here until 3 o'clock. We're rounding it out here at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. It's been a fun one, crazy one. These live appearances are always awesome and crazy at the same time. Right, Dave?
You know, but everybody's learning something.
One.
It's my very first one, and, you know, if even children can learn from this event.
Yes.
You know, getting involved in gardening, you know, I feel very behind right now. But
you
I'm going to spend some time after the broadcast.
I have a feeling you don't have a garden. Do you have a garden?
I do not.
Yeah.
You know what? I do plant peppers.
Yes.
And I tried planting, we use this, the mint. Mint?
Yep.
Hierbabuena. It's the mint leaf, no? Like the
Hierbabuena, yes.
Hierbabuena. I don't even know how to say it in English.
That's a good herb. That's a good herb.
That I really, really, I like tea. Tea de hierbabuena. I love it.
Nice. Yes, Dave, the reason why I bring you into this, because you're a younger guy who's all into the technology and stuff. I think you could benefit from this app called Grow It. Have you heard of it?
I learned from it 2 weeks ago, and I'm willing to try it because you basically take a picture, right? We have the guy that knows everything about it.
Right. Mason Day is joining us. He is the man with the plan with Grow It app. Mason, welcome back. We spoke to Mason last year, and since that appearance, we've helped him skyrocket his business. Beyond, no, I'm just kidding. No, but Mason, you know, did you debut it here with us at the show on air? And it was a little old app back then. And now you guys have blown up. Mason, welcome back to the show. Tell the story of Grow It.
So Grow It, basically it was myself and another guy that had been in the plant industry. And we wanted to really bring plants and gardening to the next generation of people. And really, I know that, you know, kids gardening and get more of those young adults gardening as well. And we said, well, as an industry, we're not reaching people on their phones. And so we wanted to help people, but at the same time, bring this mobile technology into gardening. And so actually 3 years ago now, we're 3 years old, we created the idea. But since then, it's really, we've got a community of over 275,000 members across the United States. And people are getting plants identified and questions answered on the app.
So when you say members, there's two sides to it, right? There's the one looking for the education, and there's the educators, correct?
So how that 275,000 is broken down is it's actually all together.
Okay.
So we find that about, you know, 10% of our audience are really interested in giving these answers and really kind of reaching out to these
like
other gardeners.
Hardcore.
Exactly.
Right.
The garden extremers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Extreme, you know, full contact gardening.
Exactly. We call them the maximum green thumbers, right? So that's yes. What we like to say, because not everybody likes to be labeled a gardener, so we say green thumbers.
Yes, yeah. So, or landscape artist. There's so many technical terms for it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's guys like me who will download the app and have zero clue about it.
Exactly. And that's a giant percentage of the people that we see is that, you know, I just bought this house, and I'm a first-time home buyer, and I have all these plants, and I don't know if they're supposed to be here, or should I be ripping them out? I mean, things like hostas, daylilies, peonies, things that you probably even know.
Sure.
And that, you know, these people, they just want to know what it is, how to take care of it. And so basically we've created the platform so that they can connect with all of the people in their specific areas that know the answers to those questions.
So walk me through it. I download the app, and what do I do next? I go out to my backyard. I see a plant. I have no idea what it is or how to take care of it.
So you see this plant. You take a picture of it, upload the picture, and I'd say that in most cases, especially in the Chicagoland area, in about an hour, somebody will have identified it for you. They'll get back to you and say, oh, like, hey, you should pull that out. Or maybe like, oh, that's not looking so hot. Maybe try this fertilizer. Or you don't even have to take a picture. What you can do now is this new feature this year is you can submit a question of any sort to the app and say, hey, my soil's really hard. What should I be doing to break that up? And then somebody in the area can get back to you with a local specific answer.
Interesting, which is super important because it's all about the environment locally for that type of plant to grow.
Exactly. Plants here do not perform the same way as plants in Florida, plants in California.
Right.
Sometimes we wish they did, yeah. But it's just the truth.
Right. Plants in California are a little more laid back. Florida is like the snowbird plant.
They hit the beach
plant.
By about
beach.
Three.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's good stuff, man. And I'm so glad to see you guys continuously evolving the app. Any other new features that you guys are working on?
Actually, show specific. This year we launched a comprehensive tour of the show. So all of the plants in the show are loaded onto the app. So as you walk around, if you see something really cool that maybe you don't know what it is, you don't even have to take a picture of it. We've already done that. And we've uploaded it as, you know, all right, one of the plants here is called cardoon. It's in the artichoke family. People had all kinds of questions about how to grow it. All they have to do is click on it, and all that information is right there.
That's sweet, man. Because if you don't have time to hit every single booth and you want to know more about it, I love it. It's the future of the app. Are you incorporating any kind of live video or streaming capabilities?
So not yet. But
look at it. I wish you could see the smile on his face when I said that because I feel like something big's coming.
Video is always on the horizon, and I think as we move forward, we'll definitely be looking at it. I mean, in our kind of our other channels, we just did a presentation at noon here today, and we posted it onto Facebook Live. We got about 1,000 views on that.
That's
so we're seeing some really good pickup on our videos.
Yeah, it'd be cool to actually, like, you know, take that concept of the still image to that next level. Literally on the spot, I'm in my yard with a video turned, you know, selfie and going, hey, you see this behind me? There's this and this going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Some of that, what is it, that augmented reality.
Augmented
that,
reality, yeah. And now you guys are based in Chicago now?
Yeah, we actually work out of the 1871 co-working community in the Merchandise Mart.
Those who know the show know that we're a good friend of Howard Tolman's and big supporters of 1871, the tech hub of Chicago, getting a ton of press.
And it's been great to work out of there. Like I said, we were just a couple of plant guys that wanted to bring technology into the garden, and 1871 has helped us establish
ourselves. How specifically did it help you being a part of that group?
So basically, 1871 is a hub of people doing all sorts of the most innovative stuff in Chicago happens there.
Yeah.
And we really like connected with all of the other people that are making consumer products in other industries and said, you know, hey, how do we translate that to the world of plants? And, you know, everybody's got an idea, and it's really taking those ideas.
Is it free advice, basically? Or
yeah.
Is it...
So, I mean, we pay to be a member there, but right. At the same time, you know, you can sit down with mentors. They have workshops. And basically, everybody's looking to make everybody else a better company. And
yeah.
it's really helped us.
That's great, man. I love to hear those stories. And where can people download the app?
So I think when we were here with you last year, we were only on the App Store. But now we are on the App Store and Google Play. So if they want to find us, all they got to search for is Grow It on either App Store, and we're right there.
That's great, man. I love that you guys got that high visibility now. I expect next year when we talk, you'll be up into the millions of members.
Hey, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, our show did it for you last time. I think we could do it for you this time. Mason, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I kid, but I love the ingenuity, and I think it's a great, great product. Go download the app, Grow It. I know it's on my phone now. I'm gonna try what you just said. I'm gonna walk around the show, and,
for sure.
And instead of asking the guy at the booth, I'm gonna be like, kind of cool guy, tech guy, and look at my app.
There you go.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And we want to thank our friends here at Euro Brick Inc. for letting us share our beautiful stone brickway here. It's a gorgeous tulip garden. Thank you, guys. You can go to eurobrick.net to get more information or call 847-791-3495. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll wrap the show up just in a minute. All right. Well, that does it for us, folks. The Beat is coming up next. We want to thank everybody for listening to our live broadcast from Chicago and Flower and Garden Show presented by Mariano's here at Navy Pier. It's going on through the 26th. You can see everything from life-size gardens, culinary demonstrations, and so much more. I want to thank my buddy Tony Abruscato for having us here. It's always a pleasure. We look forward to coming back next year. You can visit me online at frankfontana.net or on Instagram and Facebook at Frank Fontana. I want to thank everybody here, Dave Miranda, Ernie, our engineer. I think it sounded good on our end. I'm not sure on your guys' end. If it did, we apologize for any technical difficulties. But, hey, it's live radio, and we're broadcasting live. That's what happens. Right, Dave?
When you have to press new buttons, everything can change. But I think at least the last hour, we were more
a little better, yeah. We apologize for any technical issues. But we'll be back next week, a brand-new show back in studio at Allstate. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.